That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text if you blank. That's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you know you're one of those people, like my husband,
okay,
who get incredibly hangry, but you don't carry any kind of like granola bar in your pocket, and you just decide to roll those dice, that is all I need to know about you.
Know thyself, as they say, right? So either divert and get something to eat, get something in your belly when the hanger is approaching.
Yep.
Or, carry a granola bar like a grandmother or a mother and plan for the future.
Why's got to be a grandmother? I always got a granola bar in my pocket.
There's something. Is it in your pocket or your pocketbook?
Both. It depends on my morning.
That's what I'm saying. You're carrying a pocketbook. That's a large pocketbook. There's many things in there.
Including a granola bar.
We rely on you people.
Well, so the thing is that my husband gets incredibly hangry. And I'm looking at this study that says that hanger causes, on average, 4 arguments a week. I know Paul, my husband, is hangry when he starts getting all snippy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say to him, did you eat? That has nothing to do with it.
Right.
And then
right.
I whip out my Fiber One bar out of my pocket.
Right. Is it dipped in chocolate?
Usually, because he likes
the
chocolate.
It's got to be something enticing.
He likes the chocolate and the peanut butter ones.
Right.
And then I give it to him. And then it's like all of a sudden he becomes a normal human being again.
The
and
Snickers then, hole. It's working, world.
But what I don't understand. You know you'll get like that. Why do you, A, refuse to understand or just admit that you're one of those people?
Well.
And don't you do anything about it?
Everybody gets hangry. I mean, it happens. Mm-hmm. Let's not just say Paul is the only one.
No.
I have to imagine you have your moments there.
Well,
4 times a week to argue over food, though, seems a little bit much.
It's not arguing about food.
I know, but
it's him being hangry.
But 4 times a week caused by food seems a little high.
That's the truth. And my daughter, Hayden, is really hangry, too. The two of them. If you don't feed the two of them in a room, they turn
beasts,
into demons.
Tasmanian devils just tear themselves apart.
Carry a granola bar.
Right. If your clothes are neither in your closet or in your dresser, and just all over the room hanging off furniture, is still in the laundry basket where you stir through them basically every morning. That's all I need to know about you.
Is that you?
No.
Who does that?
That is not me. That is not me. I entered the domicile of my kid and his girlfriend, and it's like there's just, I mean, what's happening here? It's like some sort of laundry bomb happened. I wouldn't put any of it on my body and consider it clean.
Yeah.
How do you sit in a chair when it has 7 things on it?
I'm actually guilty of this a little bit. Sometimes during the week I get home and like my mom has folded my laundry because she watches my daughters and she'll fold it and then I'll just leave it in that basket until Saturday.
You already figure with it folded there in that basket, it's already twice as good as a job you would have done.
Well, I tell her and then she's like, why don't you just put it away? I go, Saturdays. Saturdays I put clothes away.
It's like an open air dresser is what it is there, right?
1-800-330-9999. Ann and Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
If I am in the parking lot at Stop and Shop and I'm pulling my car into a spot and you see me and you take your empty cart and put it right where I'm going to park, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, yeah, that's terrible. The people that leave the cart in the general, you know, parking space itself. Listen, if you're older, you got a kid hanging off your hip, you're busy, I get it, I'm not going to judge you. But you're a regular person with working legs, walk that thing back to the cart collector.
These are regular people.
Yeah,
walk it back to the cart collector.
They look you right in the face and like, oh, well. Makes me crazy.
Even if you're not going to be the cart collector guy, like get it to the area where it's not blocking everybody else's space.
1-800-330-9999. You could always play along too. You just got to fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's really beautiful if you listen to it, right?
It reminds me of silent films back in the day.
Yeah.
the westerns, right?
Yeah.
I walk in, I order a whiskey, and there'll be somebody pounding away on the ivories.
It's Anna and Raven. That is Angela Hewitt. She is one of the world's foremost pianists, or as they're called, virtuosos.
Well,
I had no idea that that's what they were called.
I guess she's a little bit more talented than the regular guy that used to be in the old whiskey shack.
Right, I would think a little bit more.
I guess so.
I mean, she does Beethoven. She does everything. And she had probably somebody's worst nightmare when something is getting moved out of their house. Here she is talking about her beloved Fazzouli piano.
It's a 10-foot-4 piano, the biggest in the world, I think. I have that fourth pile
needle on my fazioli in Italy, which is the standard 9-foot model. Mr. Fazioli put it on for me, so I use it.
If you have a piano that's called a fazioli and then Mr. Fazioli put a fourth pedal on it for you, you know that you're legit. You've made
it,
right?
At your spot, which is hanging out in Italy.
Right.
Here. I mean, could have got her a better microphone, though. That would have been cool.
Well, the interview was in a room, but whatever, you know.
Right.
So she's got this special one, only piano in the world that has a fourth pedal specially made for her.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And does she ever travel with this piano since she's such a world-famous pianist?
But I have traveled with my own fazioli. Yeah, I make my recordings on it, so it goes out of my house for all my recordings. At least my piano technician has taken it. I don't drive it myself.
She doesn't drive it herself. She has movers bring it around for silly.
Yeah, it's got to go in a C-130, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
A Hercules aircraft. That sounds like a big piano. Where are you moving that thing?
Well, she goes back and forth to her recording studio with it.
I wouldn't trust the airlines to move my pet, let alone something like this. What happened?
The movers dropped it.
Oh, perfect.
$194,000 piano.
Oh, gosh. Is the guy who did the fourth pedal still alive even? It's disappointing.
Right. And he says that it can't be saved. It is what it is.
Oh, she called him already.
Are you kidding me? She's best friends with Mr. Fazioli. Remember, Mr. Fazioli hang out all the time.
Right.
So now.
Can't be fixed.
She had to issue a statement saying that it took her 10 days because she was so sad. She called this piano her best friend.
Good.
I just want to know. When you're those movers and you drop and you shatter that piano, how do you go tell them?
Right.
How do you tell her?
How do you go in there and say, I'm sorry, we just buried your best friend in the front foyer of your house. Oh, by the way.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Right.
We got a problem.
Right.
You all right? I dropped the piano.
Why do you make it sound like Joey the Mover?
Because that's it was exactly in
Italy.
What it is.
I thought it was in Italy.
It was.
Give it a nice accent.
Signora! Signora Hewitt!
He tried to do it.
I dropped the piano! It's all right! We get another one!
Yeah.
Right.
Why are you crying?
Right. It's all right!
Is she just picking up the keys in her hand, the running through her fingers? Like her friend that's just, I don't know, been blasted into ashes by aliens? You've lost your best friend.
It's so sad. She called that piano her best friend.
Right.
But our curiosity leads us to this. 1-800-330-9999. What did the movers destroy of yours? You can call or text. Anna and Raven, what got destroyed in the move?
So I moved in with two of my friends a couple years ago, and I was traveling that day as well, so I told them, hey, let's not move stuff around. They got the leather couch from my parents stuck in the doorway. They couldn't get it out, so they sawed it in half.
Yep.
It was a $1,500 couch.
Right. Listen, we're going to put it together in the middle, all right? We're going to use a little duct tape, and then if you've ever seen those infomercials, they got that paste. It's already colored. It's like whiteout. You just put it on there, but it's colored the same color as the couch.
It really is relaxing and beautiful if you think about it. It's a Bach.
Okay.
World famous pianist.
Until it comes crashing down the stairs.
Oh,
sad day.
Yeah, world famous pianist Angela Hewitt officially released a statement that when the movers were helping move her prized Fazioli piano, was only one of them in the world because it has four pedals.
Yes, it's very unique.
And she called it her best friend.
Best friend.
She said pianos can be your best friend. They dropped it and destroyed it. $194,000 prize piano.
Didn't it take like a week for the movers to actually tell her too? They were like, how are we going to do it?
No, they told her. They told her right away. The problem was she couldn't announce it to the world because she was so upset about
right.
it.
She was
she
in mourning.
She was, yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that you've played with, I guess, all over the world for all those years.
Yeah, it's
and it cost $200,000.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
I don't think even the money is the problem. I think the problem is you become so attached to this. I mean, she would take it to record all her
she feels
music.
Like it's her muse,
yeah.
right? It's her ultimate extension. Maybe after this, she just becomes a mere mortal.
Right.
She's not able to play with the best around the world. Oh, I hope your superpower returns.
1-800-330-9999. It happens. What was destroyed in the move? This is certainly a different case because, man, can you imagine being that mover having to go back up to the penthouse and be like,
so sorry.
Hey, I got some bad news.
Right. It happens. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. We've got insurance. Just sign this form here. Fill out here. Call this 800 number. Sit on hold the next 6 hours. It'll be fine.
On our text line, 1-800-330-9999, you can always call or text. Someone wrote, to save money, I had my friends help me move. Always a good but bad idea.
Give them the beer at the end of the day.
They strapped my black Italian leather furniture to the roof of an SUV. Arriving at the new apartment building, they had to drive through underneath the building to the parking garage.
Oh, no.
Thinking that they could fit, they drove in, and they broke my sofa as they got stuck between the ceiling and the roof of the SUV.
How many times do we have to see the giraffe lose its head, all right? This is just sad. When I returned from Los Angeles way back in the 90s, Anazap, I had a U-Haul trailer behind my four-cylinder with a broken rear shock. It was good. It was good planning. And I scratched both sides of my black lacquer headboard of my California King waterbed. I mean, that was tragic. It was absolutely upsetting.
For some reason, it makes so much sense that you had a California-sized waterbed.
I mean,
it just seems
they were
like
everywhere in Craigslist back then, man. You open it up, there was 1,000 of them you could get for $75.
Just leaves a weird taste in my mouth thinking about it, to be honest with you.
When I lived in another city, I'd broken up with somebody, right? The relationship goes bad, and you snag the items that are yours in the apartment as you walk out. And one of the items that was in dispute was a piece of artwork that was given to me by this person.
I see.
It's coming with me, right? Grab it. I put it in the car, and it was this. I mean, to be honest, I'm no art critic, all right? But it was absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it had these things that looked like plastic spaghetti across the front of it, and one of them popped off. Despite the fact that it popped off and I could have hot glued that thing back on there and nobody would have known the difference, I never did. I just had to deal with the pain of it being damaged in there the rest of my life. But I displayed it.
Yeah,
because it was my trophy from surviving that.
My last move, the movers, they went to go move the couch into the living room. But my house is old. It's like 1938 house.
Seems standard, though, right? Sofa going into house.
Yeah, no, but they went to go put it in the living room, and it didn't fit. So now I have four grown men. They're big, those guys.
Right.
And they're just standing there trying to figure out. And they decide they're just going to push hard.
Oh, good.
And all of a sudden, the molding from my doorway just pops off.
Good.
And I was like,
1910 molding that's been on there. It was laid by Thomas Jefferson. You bought this historic home in downtown.
1-800-330-9999. What got destroyed in the move?
Let's take half of the refrigerator apart.
They're like, we're just going to push. I'm like, what? That's the solution?
That's the plan.
I like the people watch. I think it's like a general thing that people do, right? You just kind of look at other people and it's just fascinating to watch them.
Okay. We talking about just, you know, like at a mall or something like that? Just in general crowd watching?
Yeah. So I met my friends in Westchester. It's kind of like a central location for everybody.
Sure.
And we met Portchester and we had dinner. And it was one of those restaurants where it had like a lively crowd.
Sure.
It's
a place to be seen and a place to see people.
Yeah, for the 40-something, 30-somethings, it's Anna and Raven. And I'm looking at the bar and there's a woman, right?
Okay.
And you know they're on a date because she is showing so much cleavage that it seems wildly inappropriate.
It could be a sales meeting. You don't know.
Oh, it's not.
Okay.
It's not on a Saturday night.
All right.
Right? Whole thing of oysters in front of them. And I was like,
lovely.
And, you know, it's interesting to watch people on a date. Because I've been married 15 years. I have no idea what that's like.
Right. It's almost like you're watching National Geographic.
Right.
An exotic locale.
It's late. Like, we're finishing dinner. You know, we're finishing. They're just starting. It's 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
And, I can't stop staring. And he leans in. And he just starts kissing her at the bar.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm hitting my friends. I'm like, guys!
Look, they're kissing.
I'm like, ew!
They're kissing.
Ew! And I was like, ugh.
Wait a minute. How long did it go on?
It
this kissing?
It was for a long time.
Really?
It was like a long time.
At the bar, too. Find a corner of
no,
the place.
No, it was at the bar. Yeah. And I was like, oh, no. I'm not into that PDA stuff. Like, to me, it was like, I just don't like public displays of affection. I find it gross.
I'm okay with some of it. If it gets to a certain point, you got to roll it back. Like, at some point, you're like, all right, I get it. You like each other.
Right.
Go find somewhere else. If I can see your bread. If you haven't swallowed yet and you're kissing and making out, it's that aggressive and I'm seeing the non-church tongue.
Yeah.
How about this for kissing music?
It's nasty.
Kissing sound.
That's gross.
You told me I couldn't go.
No, I don't want you to do that noise either. It makes me. I don't know what my problem is. I don't like PDA. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like a peck on the lips, any of it.
Oh, but then come on. I don't have a problem with that. What are we, robots?
Well, then I started thinking about it and I was like, all right. PDA or PD-nay?
PD-nay?
Yep.
Oh, I like what you did there.
I'm going to give you
I can work with that. PD-nay?
I'm going to give you certain situations where people are showing PDA, and that's, you tell me whether it's acceptable or not.
Is that
PDA
too much nay?
Or PD-nay?
All right, okay. I'll go for it. Go ahead.
Kissing at a bar.
Kissing at a bar is okay if you break it off. Yes, you got to break it off less than 30 seconds. Less than 30 seconds, but I say PDA, kissing at the bar is okay.
I 100% disagree with
that. What was she wearing? Did she look fantastic?
She had the lowest cut shirt I've ever seen. I'm not even sure how it's considered a shirt.
But when he first comes in, the embrace, oh, yeah. Ugh. Give me a little some of that sugar.
How about hand-holding? But, like, extensive hand-holding. Like, you know, like when they just keep holding hands, like, and they're at the table and they're holding
hands.
So
it's the length that bothers you?
I don't know.
If there's a reason that they should have two hands, you believe that if they're holding hands, it's excessive. Like, if they're driving a car, they shouldn't be holding hands.
Like if my husband and I are out and he holds my hand to guide me across traffic,
right?
Then okay,
that's
like,
one
that's
thing.
Fine,
right?
But if you're just holding hands at a table,
while he's trying to cut his pork roast at the same time somehow with his fork,
are you okay with that PDA or PD-nay?
I mean, I would say that that's excessive, so I'm gonna go no on that one. I'm not okay with that. PD-nay.
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 And this is something that guys do that actually drives me crazy. When the guy puts his hands on a girl's waist and, like, guides her with his hands on her waist, I'm like, what are you trying to do? Move
in front
her in
of
direction?
Her, or is he in behind
they come behind her?
Her
and they put their hands on the waist. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, if it's not associated with a shove, I'm thinking it's probably okay.
I don't know.
You're up in the air on that one.
Yeah, I don't like that one either.
What else?
I also don't like when guys pick up girls in public. I find that odd.
Wait a minute. Like physically picked
pick
her up in the air?
You know, like you pick them up and like spin them around. I'm like, put her down.
Right.
Someone's going to get hurt.
No, I'm going to go with you on that one. That one seems strange. That's
PD-nay.
Going in the PD-nay.
And the last one that I'll never understand. And now I sound so prude by saying this, but I don't know. It bothers me. When people sit on the same side at the booth.
Oh, those people. Who are those people?
Like, what are you doing under that booth? Where are your hands? Keep your hands on the table. It makes me uncomfortable.
The world is anarchy.
It's so funny how when you look back on things that at the time you were so miserable that you can smile and be like, that was a good time in my life.
I mean, you survived it, right? You got past that certain time. There's lessons to be learned. It's the trials we go through as human beings.
Santa and Raven, I remember my last Valentine's Day being single, and I was really upset because my husband and I had been on our first date February 2nd.
Okay.
Which is the worst time to go on your first real date.
Less than 2 serious weeks before it. All right. First date. So how many dates do you really get in before Valentine's Day?
Well, we were in college. So it's like we saw each other a lot. But that was like the first time we had ever kind of gone out by ourselves. So I consider that our first date. You know?
Okay.
And I didn't know what to expect for Valentine's Day. I didn't know if he wanted to do something. And, he wasn't saying anything. So I didn't want to be, like, the over-crazy new girl that was like, So
where are you taking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so needy and I'm so worthy. What'd you get me?
So he didn't ask me to do anything.
Oh, what?
Right.
What a mistake on his part.
Well, I remember
what
being
What was he doing?
Crushed.
Was he playing football? Was he doing something like that?
I don't remember if it was in
something
season
with
or
old
not.
Guys.
I don't remember what he did, but I'll tell you what he didn't do: hang out with me.
Right?
He didn't.
So what did you do as a reaction?
So, I love fast food. I love me some Mickey D's. Right.
Take a nap in it.
And at the time, I was on a very serious eating healthy kick. That morning, I woke up and there was certainly no flowers. There was nothing. There was no text message. There was nothing at the time.
I'm going to guess what there was after that. Hot cakes and hash browns.
First, I went to the McDonald's drive-thru.
Nice.
And I ate the McDonald's breakfast in the car, but I liked the biscuit, so I got the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Were you smiling or were you crying while you were doing it?
I was really upset. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Right.
I wasn't happy.
Right.
And then it became afternoon time.
Right.
And still nothing from him. I hadn't heard from him. I hadn't seen him after morning classes. Nothing.
For my clarification, are you still sitting in the parking lot of McDonald's?
No, I went back to campus.
You go back.
I went back to campus.
Right.
And then I was still sad. So you know where I went back to?
I'm going to guess McDonald's.
Sat in my car again. This time I got chicken nuggets and fries.
Good.
Diet Coke.
Sensible choice. Yeah. Diet Coke, right?
Right. And now I'm like, well, maybe we're all going to meet up at a bar tonight and then I'm going to see him.
It's
there.
A big surprise.
Yeah. That's
right.
Like,
he'll make up for it. He'll be sweet.
He's not going to be like, I didn't think he was going to make up for it at the bar, but I thought we would see each other and we would hang out.
Right.
And
he'd
then,
be sweet.
Be part of it.
You'd have a good time.
No, he's completely MIA.
Oh, no.
So now it's late night and I'm hungry.
Where is he?
Back to McDonald's.
What's he doing?
I'm not even kidding. I was like, no, we're going to go Big Mac. Like, we're going to just... And I look back on it now,
right,
how hilarious it is. But to me, the only thing that would come for me was eating the one thing I wanted three times that day.
Well, that's the thing. You know, on the one hand, you ate literally the thing that you could have dropped your gallbladder out that day. It could have happened at the end of that very day. But on the other hand, you nurtured yourself.
Right.
You took care of yourself.
It's true.
That's what you needed that day.
I got the apple pie.
You got...
Oh, and I look back and I'm like, you know what?
Oh,
now,
man.
As far as heart-wrenching it was at the time.
Right.
You climbed
that mountain, Anna Zapp.
All right.
You did it.
If you are single, what is your plan for this Valentine's Day? Or what did you do on one Valentine's Day when you were single that you'll never forget? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. I giggle because I spent my last Valentine's Day. I was sad. I had just met my now husband, but we had just started dating literally 12 days before Valentine's Day. He didn't ask me to go out or do anything.
Mm.
So to comfort myself, I ate McDonald's three times that day.
Three times. And you ascended to the Big Mac. So you worked your way up.
And there was apple pie.
I know.
Too.
You confessed the apple pie right at the last moment.
True.
But, you know, again, while you were out there doing something terrible to your body, at the same time, you were doing something wonderful for your soul.
I wouldn't call it terrible. I would call it
fulfilling
and delicious.
It was something like 3,500 calories in one day. That's not a good set of choices.
It's
but
all right. Yep.
your soul ate well.
But I think there's always this negative kind of like connotation about if you're single on Valentine's Day. That's not true. There's great things you can do to celebrate, which is why 1-800-330-9999. If you're single this Valentine's Day, what's your plan? And what was your last single Valentine's Day? What did you do? On our Facebook page, Joan wrote, in college, me and my four best friends decided to cancel Valentine's Day.
Mm.
And we celebrated.
They canceled it.
They celebrated a second Thanksgiving. They went out to a restaurant and ordered Thanksgiving dinner, and they toasted and wished everyone in the restaurant a happy Thanksgiving.
I mean, that is nice and creative.
Yeah.
Sounds expensive on Valentine's Day night, too. But
she says every year they still text each other on Valentine's Day and say happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's fun.
1-800-330-9999. How are you spending your single Valentine's Day? There's so much stress that goes along with Valentine's Day if you're single. And I always look back to my last single Valentine's Day.
Hmm.
I had just met my husband and went on our first date about 12 days before Valentine's Day. He didn't call. He didn't ask me to do anything. I was heartbroken, and I ate three meals at McDonald's that day alone in my car.
3,400 calories. Even got the apple pie.
That apple pie was delicious. I had Diet Coke. Like, let's not act like
right.
I wasn't trying.
You made healthful choices.
Right.
I mean, you did what you had to do to get through the day. Looking back on it, you can laugh. Back then, it was a terrible time.
I was awful. But now, I look back, it's like a fondness. It was my last single Valentine's Day.
Sure.
Santa and Raven. So we asked, if you're single this Valentine's Day, what's your plan?
Mm.
Or, you know, if what was your last Valentine's Day single? What did you do?
As a married guy myself, I'd like to think retail therapy would help. Think about all the savings on two-person costumes you could get that day. Like, if you wanted to be a unicorn or a horse at an upcoming child's birthday.
There you go.
You could save on that two-person dinosaur outfit. Perfect.
I was thinking about going to one of those paint-and-sip places, but then I realized, like, it'd probably have to do those couple paintings, and that would be awkward because you'd have to paint two.
Perfect night to stay at a one-star reviewed hotel.
Oh, there's that.
Because you have nobody to answer to as a partner.
Okay, Facebook. Brenda wrote, going to play hockey. Oh, that's fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a hockey guy.
I didn't know there was a girl hockey league. That's fantastic.
Okay. Well, of course there is, but everything smells like dirty.
But for adults,
socks.
For adult women too?
The equipment will smell the same.
Well, right.
Right.
Steven wrote he's going to work and then he's going to drink at home alone.
Good.
Oh.
Good. That's always the way to feel better. It always feels better going in with the drinks and then you end up late at night.
Stephanie wrote she's sleeping late and then she volunteered to work the evening shift at her job.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Make that money.
Yeah.
Rake that cash.
Barbara says she's exchanging gifts with her daughter and then they're having heart-shaped pizza for dinner. I love that.
I do like heart-shaped pizza.
Doreen recently became single. She's meeting her high school friend for happy hour. Happy hour is definitely going to be lit.
She didn't say whether or not the high school friend was a boy or a girl.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, could be a friend with bees.
Mm.
Yeah.
Kim says she plans to ask a guy to go out to dinner on Friday.
Oh, no. Don't do that,
don't.
Kim.
That's a
Kim,
bad
I
idea.
I care about you. Do not do that.
Please don't do that.
Why would you do that to
I'm
going to
send her a direct private message right now on Facebook.
That is bad. That's a bad setup.
Billy's going to bingo. I want to go to bingo on Valentine's Day.
I want to win.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What did you do or what are you doing on Valentine's Day being single?
When I was single, we got together with a bunch of girlfriends. Get a sleepover, eat junk food, and have strawberry margaritas.
That sounds perfect.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
That sounds like a great Friday anyways.
It was about 20 years ago, but it was fun.
And Raven.
I actually want to know, so when did your husband finally ask you out again.
It was like a few days later. He didn't even think it was a big deal. He really didn't. He didn't understand what the big deal was about it. That's because you're dumb and in college and have no idea how girls think.
I mean, you've been dating 10 days.
Right.
10 days.
Yeah, but he could have at least gotten me a rose, like a single rose, something. Nothing.
So he totally skipped over Valentine's and blew it off. And
yeah. And on Raven, how did you spend your last Valentine's Day single? Or are you single this year?
No, I've been with my husband for 15 years. But I was in college and I went on the weirdest triple date you would ever imagine. My friend and I, this really wealthy guy, he was like pretty rich kid in the school. And so he took us both out. I'm not sure, to be honest, whether he was really taking her out or taking me out. But I was happy to go. And we went to like this really fancy place, which we would have never gone to, that was near our college. It was really interesting. And same thing at the end of the night, he brought us both roses. So I really don't know if I was really on the date or she was really on the date.
Or no, I don't want me to want to break this to you. I think right. You were both really on
you
the date.
You were both on the date.
Yeah. Right.
You were both on the date. And he was looking for the payoff.
Right.
And that's where we'll end the story.
Right. Thank you for the call.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday, another couple tells us what they're arguing about, and then you are the judge as to who's right. Rich and Christina. Christina, let's start with you. What's going on?
Our daughter has been begging to take our St. Bernard dog for walks around the neighborhood. All her friends take their dogs on walks. It's not a big deal, and we live in a safe neighborhood. It's only going to be 20 minutes. And afterwards, you know, I'm sure after she does it a few times, she's going to be like, okay, I'm over this. I don't want to do it anymore. But, you know, my husband's saying absolutely not.
What is the issue with the dog?
I just think the dog's too big for her, and I don't think that's safe. You know, would you put your kid on a bike at an age that was too young? Probably not, because you don't want the kid to get hurt. I don't think it's a safe move.
Is the dog well-behaved, or is he out of hand?
It's a St. Bernard, so it's just a big dog. And if that dog sees another dog that it wants to play with and decides to just jolt and pulls that leash, I mean, what's going to happen to her? You know,
okay, she's gonna she'll learn her lesson, and she won't want to walk the dog again if it's too much pressure. Like, the dog is really chill. It's not like our daughter's 5. She's 10 years old.
Why does she want to? I'm just curious. I would do anything for my daughter to take initiative to want to walk the dog on her own.
There's a boy with a dog. There's somebody. Somebody they're walking by, Anna Zapp. Right?
Why? Yeah. Does she tell you why she's so interested in doing this?
She's a big girl, and she wants to take responsibility now, which I'm really grateful for. Like, I think that we should give her these opportunities to do what she wants to do.
I mean, what's going to happen, Rich? If she how big is this block?
She's going to ride that dog. She could end up on the other side of the planet, Anna Zapp. That dog takes off. There's no stopping them. It's like a Disney movie adventure.
That's what I'm saying. If that dog gets excited and wants to just jolt. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, she's right. The dog is chill, but if that dog, it's a dog at the same time. So if it sees another dog and decides to just sprint, dog's going to pull her shoulder out of her socket and we're going to have a nasty medical bill. And then it's going to be like, see, I told you so.
All right, well, what we can do is ask our audience what they think. And they may agree with you, Rich. 10 years old is too young to be walking by yourself around a neighborhood with a dog that big. It's a lot of responsibility. A lot of things can go wrong. They may see Christina's side too. You're being a little bit overbearing. If she really wants to take initiative and do this, then let her walk the dog around the neighborhood and see how it goes. Or better yet, you start with her and then go from there. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Call or text. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Rich and Christina have a 10-year-old daughter, and they also have a large St. Bernard dog. Their daughter all of a sudden has said she really wants to take the dog out for walks by herself. She wants to show responsibility. She wants to do it. Rich, not on board with that.
Yeah, I understand his need for paranoia here. It is a very large animal, but, I mean, you're all living under the same house, right? Can't you train? Can't you get ready for this? Christina thinks if she's asking for responsibility, we have to give her the opportunity.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Dana and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the dad's side, actually, just momentarily, though, temporarily, because they need to ensure that she takes care of this dog properly and can handle the dog. So take a few walks with her handling the dog with her. And then if she does okay, then she could do it on her own.
That makes a lot of sense.
I got to be fair. Like, I understand the weight issue with her being smaller, but you've got to have the command of the animal. And if you do, then you're probably going to be in good shape. I've seen adults who have no command over their pets.
Right.
It's really annoying. Even in the neighborhood, they rely on these electroshock collars or whatever. Sucking the dogs out of the yard, they have no control.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. It's so funny how when you think a vote is going to go in one direction.
Right.
And it's so divided. I didn't think for a minute this would be such a divided vote this morning.
Yeah, the conversation between Christina and Rich about whether or not their 10-year-old daughter should be able to walk their large St. Bernard dog around the neighborhood unattended is a contentious one. Every neighborhood is different, right? And every dog relationship is different too, Anna.
Right. Rich says, no way. She's too young, can't control that giant dog that we have.
Right.
And Christina says she wants to show independence and some responsibility. We got to do this. I'm looking at our text line. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Just got cast off titanium plate and 9 screws. My pit saw another dog. I'm on the husband's side. Months of rehab.
Yeah, again, you've got to know the animal and be prepared for that situation. St. Bernard is a large animal.
Yeah. One of these said that she should adopt a smaller dog. I'm like, Raven would love that if you did.
Well, get the smaller dog. I love that, too. And the St. Bernard, I'm sure, is probably a big teddy bear. But
right.
If he does see a squirrel,
yeah,
he might be gone. He's a dog.
Couples Court with Anna and Raven, 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on?
I am on Rich's side, absolutely, because that dog, first of all, is huge, and whether or not he's chill is not the issue. You got to worry about other dogs that may run toward the dog, and the dog's going to go into protect mode. I have a big shepherd, so that dog would do the same thing.
Right.
And I think it's just too much of a risk.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side. I think the husband's just being a little too cautious. The girl has to learn how to do things, and he shouldn't be living in fear. Plus, that fear that something might happen might transmit to the child and then should start to be afraid to do things.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, have a good morning.
That's a good point. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. I think that that's a big dog. As much as it might be chill, it's still going to react to certain things.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think that if your daughter or your child that's a little bit older shows initiative to want to take responsibility, you have to find a way to find a compromise to nurture that.
Right.
And not just be like, nope, something bad's going to happen.
Right, right. You know? No, I agree. There's a middle ground to be found.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Rich, our audience agreed with you. Christina, maybe when she's a little bit older or when she's proven herself a little bit more, but saying take the reins and go, people thought it was not a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, they get it. They definitely get that something bad could happen and she's going to end up injured. So I guess, you know, these people understand that I have some sense in saying what I'm saying.
It's too bad you can't see the murderous rage in a St. Bernard's eyes when they're a puppy. It doesn't emerge until later. Too bad, or you could have had this off at the pass.
Exactly.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
You already know TMZ breaking news before it breaks.
Dude, it wasn't cheap. You ought to know, you bought
Spend
it.
Spend hours a day stalking your favorite celebs on Twitter.
Man, are you awake? Yeah. As soon as your eyes shut, I'm going to punch you square in the face.
Answer questions with obscure movie quotes.
I'm not going back to being poor and dancing at the wizard's dinner.
It's time to use that useless knowledge and play Can't Beat Raven.
Hey, Samantha, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Samantha.
Okay. Samantha, Raven's win streak right now is up to 13. I would love to crush that. He's walking out, and now that that door has closed, he can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, we give you $100 to Duncan. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number 1, Macaulay Culkin is Esquire magazine's March 2020 cover. In what Christmas film does he play Kevin McAllister?
Home Alone.
Number 2, Chrissy Teigen publicly apologized to Beyonce for the way she acted at her Oscar party. Her husband, John Legend, is an EGOT winner. He's won all 4 awards. What does EGOT stand for?
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Number 3, Backstreet Boys were with Jimmy Fallon last night, and they announced a world tour. How many Backstreet Boys are there?
5.
Number 4, Full House Home, the actual home, is on the market and has a new price reduction, taking $500,000 off the price, and it's now listed at $5.5 million. What actress played DJ Tanner?
Cameron Candace Burr.
And number 5, Jussie Smollett has been indicted on 6 accounts of lying to police about the attack claims in Chicago. What TV show was he on when the incident occurred?
Empire.
Nice job, Samantha. Raven, come on. Samantha got all 5.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
Yep, it sure is. Woo!
Let's see how I do.
Yep. Macaulay Culkin is Esquire magazine's March 2020 cover. In what Christmas film does he play Kevin McAllister?
Home Alone.
Number two, Chrissy Teigen publicly apologized to Beyonce for the way she acted at her Oscar party.
Okay.
Her husband, John Legend, is an EGOT winner. He's won all four awards. What does EGOT stand for?
Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
Yes.
What, did you think I wasn't going to know it?
I don't know. Seems like a lot of things to remember. All right, number three,
well,
Backstreet Boys were with Jimmy Fallon last night and announced a world tour.
I know.
How many Backstreet Boys are there?
Oh, currently?
Yes, the same that there's always been.
Five, then.
Yes.
Right. I mean, thought there was down to four.
What?
Well, like, you know how, like, Boys to Men, all of a sudden, one of those guys was like, I don't like to sing sexy songs anymore.
All right.
Sometimes they find Jesus and they're like, I can't dance simultaneously with other people.
Number four, the Full House home, the actual home, is on the market and has a new price reduction. Take a $500,000 off the price to $5.5 million.
Okay.
What actress plays DJ Tanner?
DJ Tanner is Cameron Byrne? Cameron Berg? Cameron Burr.
Oh, gosh. It's Candace Cameron Burr.
Oh, what do you mean? It's Cameron Burr. I mean, that's her name. That is her name. That her mother put that name on her birth certificate.
Well, it's Candace. It's her first name.
Cameron Burr. I mean, if I say that out loud, she's going to pick. If I call that out at the deli, she's going to place her order for cold cuts.
Her first name is Candace.
Her first name is Candace. I'm not going to give that to you, Raven. I'm sorry. Number five, Jussie Smollett has been indicted on six counts of lying to police about the attack claims in Chicago. What TV show was he on when the incident occurred?
Empire.
Oh, I'm sorry, Raven. Samantha beat you 5-4 this morning.
Feels fake. I'm going to lodge a complaint with the league.
You can lodge it. Congratulations, Samantha. You just won.
This is Samantha, and I just beat Raven.
All right. Congratulations
on your victory.
I hate this sound with a passion, and I hear it every single morning at 3:40 a.m.
Why do you choose the most abrasive alarm that there is available?
I don't...
That's really the alarm you use?
Yeah, so I have two.
And you use it on your phone?
No, I don't... So here's the thing, it's Anna and Raven, is that I'm one of the 25% of people left in this country that still uses an old-fashioned alarm clock. It's plugged into the wall. It's set for an alarm time. That's my first, wake up. I wake up to that every single morning, old school. I have had that literally since I was in college.
I would have smashed that thing. That's an alarm that just, that starts my day on the wrong foot.
No, but I know it's coming, so I brace myself for it. And then I know that
You're a sick individual, you know that?
I am 100% aware of that. And then 1 minute after that alarm goes off,
right,
my phone alarm will go off,
okay,
which is also a very abrupt beep. What okay. do you wake up to?
I wake up to something very nice and relaxing. I'm a marimba guy. I like to picture myself in a rainforest. Mm-hmm. And those are the raindrops that are actually hitting the bamboo and speaking to me. It's like the birds when they come in with the gown for Cinderella or Sleeping Beauty or whichever one it is. Yeah, it's the same thing for me.
Well, the reason why I bring this up is because I think we've been doing it wrong this whole time. Now, keep in mind, I have never been late for work. Okay, I never once have this show started.
That time you exploded the deer.
Well, one time I hit a deer. That's right. A different story. That wasn't because my alarms didn't go off.
Right. Okay.
But I believe in the old school alarms because I think it's the only way to get up. And I believe that that sound gets me up, alert, and out the door. Science now says absolutely not. And it says that if you wake up to a really abrasive sound like this every morning, you're actually doing more harm than good.
I told you. You're ruining your life.
It's saying that your brain doesn't recover from that. From, like, that shock for 4 hours.
That seems like a lot, especially when your job is to come in and be nice. Kind of explains a lot.
Science has said that these are the best three songs to wake up to. If I woke up this every morning, I don't know if I'd be okay.
You'd be 75 years old and applesauce would be at one.
I mean, who wants to hear that every single morning? I don't want to hear that.
What else?
And if this was playing, I think I would just continue to sleep. It's Enya.
Yeah.
Who plays Enya?
I'm going to be in the shower for 2 hours if that song's on. I'm just going to be I'm under a waterfall.
No, like, there's no way I'm waking up to Enya. Who's like, let me wake up to Enya? So you got Enya, the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
And this is the third best song they say to wake up to have the most productive day.
Okay. So you're a tough guy, like you're really rough guy. Now that one I'm feeling right now.
So you just start dancing in your bed?
The great thing about Billy, too, is you never know what she's going to wear. So I can wear whatever. My hair's messed up, but just say I'm fashionable.
So out of those three, you'd go with Billie Eilish?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm not going to lie. Tonight when I go to bed, I'm still putting this on. If it works, if it broke, don't fix it.
It hurts me right now, and I've been up for hours.
Julian, I'm sorry about the heartache that's been happening in your life lately. Are you okay?
Yes.
How old are you?
Six.
And where do you live, in Oxford? You're not sure? I'm pretty sure, Ma, that's where you guys are from, right?
That is where we're from.
Yeah.
It's amazing how when you're young, the scars heal so quickly. You move on from one day, it's tragedy, to the next day, you're bright as sunshine. But pitchers and catchers report this week, so heartache's about to return, my friend.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. Julian is joining us, and I came across his video on Facebook because when he heard about his beloved Boston Red Sox making a trade that he wasn't happy about, he didn't take it so well.
Look at you staring at the ceiling looking for the information. Mookie Betts is gone.
Here's how it went.
Why are you crying?
I have the Eskimos and Mookie Betts. He got traded too.
Who?
Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts and who else?
They cried.
Oh, buddy, it's okay.
It's not okay.
I mean, let's be honest. We're much more broken up about Mookie than we are David Price.
Is that true? Do you like one more than the other, Julian?
Yes.
Yeah, bye, David. See you later, David.
So why were you so upset?
Because I like them. They got so much home runs, the Smokey Bats.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking at you and you're wearing your Red Sox hat and you're wearing your Red Sox jersey. You're like a major supporter. What do you do in a situation like this when your favorite player, now he's gone?
I don't know.
Well, there's no way he's going to get to watch any of these baseball games. Dodgers games start at like after 10 o'clock at night.
Well, actually, in the video, Julian had some thoughts about that.
Oh.
I don't even like the Dodgers.
It's okay.
They're the worst.
They're not the worst, buddy.
They are.
It's okay. It can still be your favorites.
They can't because I have to X them all forever.
Right.
You don't have to X them all.
I do.
I think that there's a lot of people that agree with you right now. When we put this on our Facebook page, there was so much support for you, and they understood where your upsetness came from. So what are you going to do now? Because I was thinking maybe you could be a Yankees fan like me.
What? No.
No.
What do you
there
mean,
you
no?
There you go. That's my man.
No? So what are you going to do?
I don't know.
He's going to start counting down the next 86 years. We're going to be fine. There's no curse with moving Mookie Betts.
Liz, were you surprised by his reaction?
Well, we were waiting to tell him what happened until his dad got home. We were on our way home from
the prison. Like the passing of a gerbil or something.
We thought that was how we were going to handle it. That's
amazing.
And then he heard it on the radio.
Oh.
And he said, what happened?
Yes.
And that's, here we are.
This is why I can't listen to the radio the morning after the premiere of This Is Us. Wait a minute, why did Kevin cry? Big three, what? Oh, this is so upsetting.
So, Julian, now that a few days have gone by, do you feel better about what's happened?
Yes.
Yeah, all right, well, that's good. So what's the plan moving forward?
I don't know.
Right, just keep cheering for the Boston
Go
Red
Sox.
Right? You sure you don't want to come over to the Yankees?
I'm sure.